This morning's lesson is a very simple one. It's entitled, What Did God Name His Church? Very simple lesson. One point that we're going to make, but we're going to try to make it as thoroughly as possible, and I hope and pray it will be helpful to you. I want you to understand that when it comes to naming the church, there are individuals who might would say, well, what difference does it make? And we recognize that in the religious world today, there are designations that are given for many different churches. We will note that in a little while and give some examples of it. But it may be that you have been asked from time to time when discussions turn to the religious or when someone is inquiring about you, what church are you a member of? And when you tell them that you are a member of the Lord's church or a congregation of Christ or any other kind of term trying to be scripturally accurate, they're going to want to know what the name of your church is. And when you are to tell them, as a member of this congregation, you're a member of the West Side Church of Christ, their typical response would be, oh, okay, you're a member of the Church of Christ. Or, perhaps put it a little bit differently, you're a member of the Church of Christ Church, which is a bit redundant. Nevertheless, it is an expression that you hear quite often and indicates a sectarian mindset that is very prevalent religiously and indicates that people really have a hard time grasping or understanding what we mean when we say the West Side Church of Christ. So we're going to spend a little time talking about what God named the church. And to introduce that subject, as we acknowledge that when religious people hear the term Church of Christ, it means something very different to them than what we intend, I would like to note the use of that phrase, the only time the phrase is found in Scripture, in Romans the 16th chapter and verse 16. You'll note in that is that the term is actually in the plural. The Apostle Paul said, greet one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ greet you. That's in the plural, churches of Christ. We're going to make note, first of all, of that designation. We'll talk a little bit more about it in the next couple of points. I remember a debate that I was reading one time between a gospel preacher and a preacher in the Baptist church, and they were talking about the Baptist church is scriptural in name, organization, doctrine, and work, and the Baptist preacher affirmed that, the gospel preacher denied it, and then the Church of Christ is scriptural in name, organization, teaching and work, and it was affirmed by the gospel preacher in the Baptist church. A Baptist preacher denied it. And one of the things that that he noted is that your name, Church of Christ, is not a scriptural name because the only time the term is used in Scripture, it is churches of Christ, plural, rather than singular. And that was an argument that was made to kind of defeat the accuracy of this particular designation. So the first thing I want to make note of is that if we identify ourselves as a Church of Christ, that we are using a scriptural designation, because if you have churches of Christ, plural, you certainly have a Church of Christ, singular, that is under consideration. Of course, that doesn't touch upon the statement made by our Lord, upon this rock I will build my church, which is indeed singular, having reference to the institution that Christ established through His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. But when the Apostle Paul uses the term in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, he was using the plural because he was referring to numerous congregations of Christians. The churches of Christ had reference to a number of local churches or congregations. It might be beneficial for us to begin our discussion of this issue by talking about the word church itself. Many of you are familiar with the definition of the term. It comes from the Greek word ekklesia. It comes from two roots, the root ek, which means out, and kaleo, which is a call. So when we talk about the word ekklesia, the literal language that we use, derived from the root, is the ekklesia is the called out, or those who are called out. Now, the term must be defined contextually because there are a number of times in Scripture where the word ekklesia is used that has absolutely no reference to the church at all. Actually, the word church that is translated church from the English comes from a Latin term, not the original Greek. If we were to not have derived from the Latin the term church, it most probably would have been translated in the English scriptures, at least, as a congregation. So, we can read the word congregation in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The congregations of Christ salute you or greet you. And so there we have perhaps a better understanding of what's under consideration. The various congregations which belong to the Lord were sending greetings by the hand of the Apostle Paul. The word actually is a general term which could make reference to any assembly whatsoever. It have reference to democratic assemblies or any other kind of assembly. Governmental assemblies, social assemblies, those who are called out or they are called together for a specific purpose. In the Greek, the term typically was ekklesia. It has been appropriated by our Lord. The ekklesia are those who are called out of the world, having reference to the relationship that we sustain in Christ when we have been called out of the world. And so the term church is a very simple one, but I want you to notice it is what we might refer to as a general term. It is not a proper name at all. And we'll discuss that further in just a few moments. But when we talk about the word church, it can be used in basically two different ways. There are three ways in the minds of some. There is the universal sense in which the term is used, having reference to the relationship. We alluded to that. Upon this rock I will build my church. The church basically consists of all of those who have been called out into the world into Christ. So it has reference to the relationship. That's all who have went on before us, who had that relationship with Christ, all who live on the earth today, who had that relationship with Christ. They are referred to as the church. Another designation of that relationship is the kingdom, where Christ is the king and we are citizens of that kingdom. A third is the body of Christ, where Christ is the head and we are members in particular. And so there are various indications of the relationship. But it also can be used in the local sense with regard to a specific congregation. And that is the usage in Romans chapter 16. There is a third way that is alluded to as the distributive sense, having reference to the churches of Christ, that is, a number of them collected together, but it still has reference to local congregations. The churches of Galatia in Galatians chapter 6 would be another example of that in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. But for all practical purposes, we're either referring to the universal church or the universal sense in which the word church is used, having reference to the relationship, or we're talking about a local congregation, that is a group of people that work together in a particular place that make up the fellowship of Christ there in that particular location. And so the Westside Church of Christ would be that particular designation. Now that is a different type of usage than what you find commonly in the religious world today. Brethren can be ignorant on the matter, as well as those who are religious, those who nominally claim to be Christians but are involved in the various religious denominations. They can use the term incorrectly. When people talk about the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church or the Presbyterian Church or the Lutheran Church, they are using the term as signifying a particular denomination, an organism that is less than the church as it is referred to in the universal sense. When the Baptist church says, we are the Baptist church, or someone says, I'm a member of a Baptist church, he is distinguishing the denomination of which he is a part from the Methodist church, the Presbyterians, or the Lutherans. And I want you to understand that the word is nowhere used in that way in Scripture. It is referring either to all the believers or the believers in a particular location. It has absolutely nothing to do with an institution that has, in fact, gained its acceptance and had its origin in a time that is post-first century. In other words, the denominations did not come about until much later. In fact, individuals who have any understanding of world history are aware of the fact that the Catholic Church gradually formed from traditions and dogma, and that in the 1500s, the Protestant churches broke off from the Catholic Church and formed their own divisions, their own sects. sects, which are the various religious denominations. And when you use the term Church of Christ, when someone says, what church are you a member of? If you simply give them the phrase, I'm a member of the Westside Church of Christ, well, then they're going to think that you are a member of the Church of Christ denomination. That is no different than the Baptist denomination, no different than the Presbyterian or the Catholic denomination, or any of the others. And the idea is that you have certain doctrines and certain teachings that are exclusive to your group, and those who are associated with your group or your denomination make up the Church of Christ Church. And that's where you get that redundancy and that rather awkward phrase. And I'm glad that it doesn't trip off the tongue, because I'm afraid that brethren would use it in that way too often as well. Have you ever used the phrase when someone asks you, of what denomination are you a member of? You say the Church of Christ. Well, if you have ever said that, then shame on you, because the Church of Christ is not a denomination. If someone asks you what church you're a member of, well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ Church. Shame on you, because that's redundant. And that shows bad grammar, first of all. But secondly, that's a sectarian use of the term Church of Christ. It is not a designation of any denomination. Well, someone says, well, wait a minute. Christendom is divided to these various denominations, and if you call yourself a Christian of necessity, you must be one of those sects. You must be in one of those denominations or divisions. But let me affirm as a matter of principle that if indeed we are following the truth and the truth alone, then that puts us into the Lord's church. And if we distinguish between the Lord's church and the man-made denominations, then we are talking about a very different thing. And I think that if we can back up our teaching and back up our religious practices, our organization, as well as the designation that we use to describe ourselves, then in fact, we are not members of any denomination at all. Truth does not divide. It is error that divides. And by keeping ourselves true to the standards that were established in the first century, we predate as an organization all of those religious denominations and have no part with them. If we are just another denomination, then we are no better than any of the other man-made denominations. It is important we recognize that we as a congregation of God's people are something different than the denominations around us. And so let's be careful with regard to the designation and how it is used. To put it as simply as we possibly can in answering the question, what name did God give the church? The answer is, He did not give His church a name. God did not give a proper name to the church. Now, the name Baptist Church is a proper name. It is capitalized Baptist, capitalized church, and it has reference to a particular denomination. You look at their own materials, and that's the way that they will put it. And it is an interesting thing that when you talk about the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church is with a capital C, and a capital C in Catholic, a capital C in church, and that's the way that the term is used among Catholics, although the original use of the term Catholic was not intended in that way. In fact, when the term Catholic Church is used, if it is used correctly, it can have reference to the Lord's Church, because the word Catholic simply means universal. We have already referred to the universal use of that term in Matthew chapter 16, when Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. The universal church, or the Catholic Church, consists of all who are His, all who have that relationship with Him. But that's not what it is designated as in the religious world today. There is no proper name that is given to that organization which was bought with the blood of Christ. Now, what do we mean by proper name? Another phrase or another phrase that's used is proper noun. What's a proper name or a proper noun? Well, that's something I think we all understand. I'm a man. That's a common noun. It's not with a capital. I'm not a man, capital M. I'm just a man, little m. And yet I have a proper name or a proper noun that describes me, and the name is Stan. We can also use that same definition with regard to all the countries of the world. Little c, countries, a common term. Whereas you have the United States of America, capital U, capital S, capital A, which is a designation or a proper designation, proper name, proper noun, that describes this particular country. We can even say, well, there are a lot of different things. Organizations, stores. You know, there are a lot of different stores in our area, but there is Walmart, capital W, capital M, Walmart. Target, capital T. Those are proper names. So it's a pretty simple designation to refer to. And again, I will emphasize that there was never a proper name that God ever gave to the church. What He gave were designations or descriptions of the people of God. And it's interesting that as you look at these descriptions, they are all designed to establish a particular principle. Let me give you just a few of them. By no means an exhaustive list. We've already referred to the church of Christ. The church of God is related in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. We've also made note of the fact that it is referred to that body of called out believers referred to as the kingdom of God. In 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of God. A slight differentiation between 1 Corinthians 1 and 1 Timothy 3, the church of the living God, and in Colossians 1, the kingdom of God's dear Son. We've talked about the body of Christ. We've talked about the vine. We are the branches. He is the vine. We can talk about the fact that He is the chief cornerstone of the temple and we are living stones being built together. There are any number of relationships and designations that are given. None of those are proper names. And one of the things you might note that while we have up on the list, as is typical when you do titles or lists, you capitalize the first letter in each. I probably and would have done so if I would have thought about it. When you have up there on the board these various letters, I would have made those little letters instead. The churches of Christ. It's found in Romans 16, 16. It is little c with regard to churches. We don't want to confuse the matter in that regard. Now, these are designations that are scriptural in nature. I always wonder why it would be that individuals would want to name themselves something different. With regard to, for example, the Lutheran Church, do you realize that Martin Luther, as he sought to reform Catholicism and finally established a denomination, a religious denomination, it was not his desire that people be called Lutherans. He didn't want his name to remain after he died. He only wanted the name of Christ. To be worn, not his own. And so he would have objected to the Lutheran Church or to individuals referring to themselves as Lutherans. Why in the world would you want to designate yourself as a group that was begun by a mere mortal man? Why would a church want to be known as the Methodist Church, which is a reference to a technique or a process? The term method was used with regard to John Wesley's means that he developed with regard to increasing devotion among believers. And so people began to talk about Methodism, and the Methodist Church was established. The Presbyterian Church is named after a form of church government. The Church of England is named after a country, of all things. And the Baptist Church, even when we talk about the Baptist Church, not named after John the Baptist, but as I understand it, they were differentiating between their practice of immersing, in contrast to the religious practices of that day where baptism took place through sprinkling or pouring. They wanted everyone to know that they're immersers, and so they called themselves, because the term literally means immersion or dipping or plunging, they called themselves the Baptist Church. I want you to understand why it is that we call the congregation of which we are a part the West Side Church of Christ. And I think that in just giving a short explanation of this, we find the proper way in which the term is used. And I would admonish you to be careful with regard to the way you use the language that you use. You're a member of the West Side Church of Christ. What is meant by that? Well, it is merely the designation of our congregation. It is called West Side because we are on the west side of Fort Worth. I suppose we might could have called ourselves the Northwest Church of Christ, possibly, because we're kind of north as well, at least north of 30. But we refer to ourselves as the West Side Church of Christ. The West Loop is just down the road. There are a couple of Churches of Christ beyond us, but I don't know if there were any back in 1959 when the church was named. And so the designation we give, or the name we give, and we do name ourselves in that sense, the differentiation. We are the West Side Church of Christ. But I want you to notice that up on the board, as I've titled it, and this has been my practice from the time I began preaching and began writing, the C is little in church. Because I am only referring to that phrase in the way in which the Apostle Paul referred to that phrase in Romans the 16th chapter in verse 16. In fact, I suppose that we could say it's a hybrid of Romans 16, 16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. The church of God which is at Corinth. That's a description. The West Side Church of Christ could as easily been said, and sometimes I have written it in that way, the Church of Christ that meets on the west side of Fort Worth. Because that's what this is intended to say with regard to the use West Side Church of Christ. And what we mean by that is that we are an autonomous congregation. What is meant by that is that we have our own eldership, and we are separate and apart with regard to the worship that we offer, with regard to our work that we do, with regard to the monies that are raised through the first day of the week contribution, with regard to the teaching and worship that is done, separate from any other religious group in the world. That's what autonomy means. And people say, well, the definition of autonomy is you can do what you want to do. No, that's not the correct definition as it accords to what the Scriptures teach. The idea of autonomy is that we determine for ourselves to do the will of Christ. And we have the right, even if every other group departs from truth, we're going to stay with Christ and what He has authorized. That's one of the interesting things about let's say, the Presbyterian Church. If the Presbyterian Church, as a denomination, makes a decision with regard to what will be taught and practiced in the congregations of the Presbyterian Church, well, then the various congregations have the responsibility either to do what the Presbyterian Church headquarters tell them to do or to cease being a Presbyterian Church. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing. Some of the organizations of some of the denominations are a bit less strict than others, but that's an affiliation or involvement that is problematic. It is certainly not a scriptural one. And so we are not associated with any denomination. We are certainly not associated with the Church of Christ denomination. In fact, if such a critter exists, we want no part of it. We disavow any involvement with it. We are a local congregation of God's people that autonomously determine to follow the will of God in every sense. And so we go to Scripture to determine how we're going to worship God. We go to Scripture with regard to what it is that we're going to teach and what it is we're going to preach. We go to Scripture with regard to determining our work and the worship and everything else that makes up the responsibilities and obligations of our fellowship here at the Westside Congregation. Now, I want you to know one other thing with this regard, and that is the word of Christ, or the prepositional phrase of Christ, because it is indicative of possession. The same thing with regard to the Church of God, which is at Corinth. It indicates possession, and that's merely and solely the idea that is behind it. We understand that we belong to Christ as a congregation of God's people. He is the head. And so when we describe ourselves, simply put, the Westside Church of Christ is a congregation of Christians that belong to Christ or God, affiliated with Christ or God, that meets on the west side of Fort Worth. It is not a proper name other than in the designation West Side, designating where we are. But as far as the use of the phrase Church of Christ, it is not a name that God has given us. It is simply one of many descriptions that are found. We've already looked at those descriptions. But the question arises, and this is the only other point I want to make in the lesson this morning. Question arises, why don't we use those other expressions? Let's take as an example that one that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, where the church at Corinth was referred to as the Church of God which is at Corinth. That's a scriptural designation. So why don't we use the phrase Church of God? Well, I would say, first of all, in my lesson today, I have used that term on a number of occasions already, referred to this congregation as the West Side Church of God. That would be a designation that is very scriptural, and it is very appropriate. There are some brethren who say it'd be wrong for us to use the phrase Church of God. I want you to understand that it wouldn't. I want us to recognize that just because some religious group that is steeped in doctrinal error appropriates a name from Scripture, that doesn't mean that we cannot utilize that description. It's a common name, a common description that is given of a congregation of God's people, and it is a right to use it today as it was in the first century. We must not allow others to appropriate that language. And one of the things that I object to with regard to the homosexual agenda is the appropriation of the term gay. That's not what the word means. Now, if you look in the dictionary today, it does mean that. That is defined, but it's because the language has changed because someone has taken a term and they've changed the meaning of the term. And because I disagree with and disapprove of that agenda, I disapprove of that use of the word gay. It was a perfectly fine word that became distorted and the name has changed. I don't want us to allow someone to come in and take the term and misuse the term to turn it into a proper name that designates a specific denomination, and for us to say, well, we can't use it. If it's used properly and appropriately, then it is scriptural and it is good and beneficial, and we ought not to shirk or to shy away from utilizing it. However, having said that, I do want you to understand that there is some expediency and commonly referring to ourselves as a church of Christ. And so we need to talk about expediency, first of all. Why is the church of God phrase the one that is not most commonly used? Well, simply because if it is used commonly, it would be misunderstood, would it not? We refer to, if we put out on the sign at the street, the West Side Church of God, and we had visitors who came into our midst, it would be a different group that normally comes in to visit with us. We're talking about individuals who have the same convictions as we do with regard to what the Bible teaches. You would have a group that are Pentecostal, evangelical, a group that have a different view with regard to the miracles of our Lord, who would come in, and when they didn't see a praise band on the front steps, they would say, hey, wait a second, this isn't a church of God, capital C. This is an assembly of the church of God, which is a Pentecostal group, someone who has appropriated that name. So it would cause some problems. And it is simply true that, especially with regard to the division among God's people, which took place in the late 1800s, that brethren began to refer to themselves in various locations as churches of Christ in those fellowships as a means of identifying themselves to one another. And that's one of the benefits of being consistent with regard to the use of that phrase. But it is a designation. It is not a proper noun, and we need to keep that in mind. And so the expediency of it is that when you use the term Church of Christ, we refer to ourselves as the West Side Church of Christ, people understand by and large what it is that we're referring to. If I were to go to another place and I were to open up the Yellow Pages, and I know we go on the internet these days more than open up the Yellow Pages, but if I were to open it up looking for a congregation that where the truth is being upheld and where the worship is scriptural, where am I going to go when I go in the Yellow Pages under churches? I'm going to look for churches of Christ. And I recognize there are many that have that name and that designation that are not teaching truth, that have been involved in religious error, religious teaching, in regard to both doctrine, with regard to worship and practice and all of those kinds of things. But at least I have a starting point in that regard. And so there is an expediency to that. Now, I want to make one other point in that regard, and that is that there are some today that are saying we ought to stop using the word Church of Christ. And just as I alluded to earlier, I don't want to allow others to appropriate our use of Scripture. Just because some, when they see the term Church of Christ, would object to it or have a misconception of what the term means, I don't want to stop using it simply because others don't are offended by it or don't appreciate it or don't understand it fully. I'm reminded of a text in Acts chapter 28. You'll remember in verses 21 and 22 of the passage, the Jewish leaders were talking to Paul while he was in Rome, and they said to him, "We did not receive letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, because concerning this sect..." Now, what sect are they talking about? They're talking about the Christian faith. They're talking about those who are believers. He said, "Concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere." There are some today that are saying, when people hear the term Church of Christ, what they think is a bunch of legalists. When the people hear the term Church of Christ, what they think is just another denomination. When people hear the term Church of Christ, what they think is, oh, that's the group that thinks they're the only ones going to heaven. Or that's the group that thinks that you have to be baptized to be saved. They think of a distinctive message that is in contrast to the message that they hold to, the doctrine that they hold to, and they're antagonistic toward it. We don't want to prejudice their minds against that, so let's take the name Church of Christ off the building. And you have churches that are doing that. They'll put up a sign, Christians meet here. Or they will take the sign off and they'll call themselves a community church or something. I want you to know that the majority of churches that are actually doing that are departing very consistently and very liberally with regard to their error. They are departing from truth. And they're beginning to engage in practices that are not authorized in God's Word. They do not want to be known as unique or known as distinctive. I want you to understand that people are always going to be prejudiced against truth, but that doesn't mean that we should allow such prejudice to lead us to set aside something that is lawful and something that is appropriate. I rejoice at the fact that the congregation which I am a part belongs to Jesus Christ, and I would be loath to take my Lord's name off of that designation or to be in any way unsatisfied with or ashamed of the fact that we are a church of or belonging to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, "Do I seek to persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?" We don't name ourselves in order to be pleasing to men. We designate and describe ourselves in order to please God. He said, "If I desired to please men, then I wouldn't be a bondservant of Jesus Christ." Now, by way of conclusion, there are a couple of points that I want to make that I think will be helpful as we make application of the passage. First of all, you need to be careful with regard to the language you use. You need to be careful that your concept of the church accords with Scripture, whether it be name or worship or organization or work, that you are not guilty of conforming to the sectarian views that are prevalent in the world today. You're not guilty of saying it doesn't matter or that we're majoring in minors. It is never inappropriate for us to seek to limit ourselves to biblical language and to try to designate ourselves as we are described in Scripture by our Lord. So make sure that you never use the name Church of Christ in a sectarian way. Secondly, whenever someone comes up and says, "What church are you a part of?" or "What's the name of your church?" use it as an opportunity to teach. You know, I think that sometimes we'll say, you know, Westside Church of Christ, hoping that that will drop, be the end of the subject. Instead of taking the opportunity, I know that I can be somewhat cantankerous in this, but someone asked me, "What church are you a member of?" My stock answer is the Lord's Church. Well, I know that. I know the member of the Lord's Church, but what denomination? I'm not a member of any denomination. Well, what's the name what's the sign on in front of your building say? Say Westside Church of Christ, but let me explain. And it's important that you explain it so that they understand that the stereotypical view that is present religiously with regard to churches and with regard to your church is not accurate. And that there is a better way, a scriptural way to look at it, and by teaching them you can explain what that in fact is. And then the third point we want to make is that there is only one name that has been given the people of God. One proper name, one proper noun that is used to describe them. It is found three times in Scripture and has no reference to the church, but rather to what we as individuals are called, and that is Christian. Now, in Acts the 11th chapter in verse 26 is the first time that term is used. When they found when he had found him, that is, Barnabas found Paul or Saul, he brought him to Antioch. It was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, there are individuals who say that that calling was actually a term of derision. In other words, the term Christian has reference to a follower of Christ. And it was those who are without who said, "Oh, those are Christians." And that it was not, in fact, a name that was designated by the Holy Spirit or by God at all. I don't think that that's the case. I'm not exactly sure with regard to what brought about The use of the term there in Antioch, it very well might have been something that was outside, that the first time the term was used, it was a term of derision. That's possible. But there are two other places in where the term is used. First of all, in Acts chapter 28 and verse 6, where King Agrippa, you'll remember, told Paul after his eloquent defense of himself and the preaching of the truth, he said, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian." And you'll remember the Apostle Paul did not in any way correct him in regard to that, but he said, "I would that you would be, except for these chains, in all manner as I am." I think the kicker for me is in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, in verse 16, where the Apostle Peter is talking about us because of the relationship that we enjoy as Christians with Christ. I didn't mean to use the term. The relationship we enjoy with Christ, that we will suffer persecution. And he said that if you suffer as a Christian, not to be ashamed. And so the Apostle Peter there, he designated that term to be used for those who are followers of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit did indeed give its stamp of approval upon the usage of that term. Just one final point as we draw our lesson to a close. Remember this, the term Christian, when it's used as a noun, that's what we are. It should not be used as an adjective. And I admit that I've used it, been guilty of it, but there is no such thing as the use of the term Christian camp, Christian college, Christian business, those kinds of phrase, Christian bookstores, all of those kinds of things that are used to describe a particular thing. That's not the way in which the term Christian is used in Scripture. Only as a noun, not as an adjective. And I really find it hard to defend, to use the term to, let's use the term Christian college, for example. An institution that is devised by man, originated by man, is not found in Scripture, so is not in any way affiliated with our faith, to use the term Christian as a description of such an institution. And so we use the term Christian to refer to what we are. We are Christians. And so that's, again, a very quick explanation of what God named the church. I hope and pray that these things have been helpful to you, maybe to clarify in your mind, or even more importantly, to help you explain to others why you're being so cantankerous when all they've asked is, what church are you a part of? If it has been beneficial to you, then I've done my job. I hope and pray that you're helped by it. We're going to offer an invitation at this time, not knowing the hearts of any. If you need to respond to the invitation call, you have opportunity to do so today. If it is you're not a child of God, repent of your sins, confess Him as your Lord, be baptized to have your sins washed away. If as a child of God there is something amiss and you need some help, and we can encourage you and help you in any way possible, we offer ourselves to you. Would you come? While together we stand, while we sing.